Welcome to the Align Business Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Kerslake, CEO of personal branding agency, Pinegate Road, and business coach to online service providers, coaches, and educators. I know that you believe that living a great life is so much more than the business that you lead or the money that you make. Each week, we'll dive into what it actually takes to live an aligned life with a business that supports it. Let's do this. This show is brought to you by the Align Business Academy. Are you so ready to go all in with your online business and hit six figures this year in a way that feels fulfilling and true to you? Apply now for the Align Business Academy. This is our signature program that helps you scale your online business with one-on-one and community support, a framework for learning all things online business, and a proprietary three-part system for scaling while working way less than you are now. Say hello to more freedom, income, and impact. Apply now at pinegateroad.com/academy. That's pinegateroad.com/academy. Welcome, Shay. I'm so excited to have you here today. How are you doing?
I am well.
Thank you for being here. So Shay is my lawyer. Am I allowed to call you my lawyer?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Official? Okay. I was like, you know, sometimes like, are you my lawyer? I don't know. It sounds so like grown up and adult and official, but I guess I am now.
It's official. We're a thing. We made our relationship official.
Good. I love it. So Shay and I have been working together for about a year and a couple months here. And I reach out to Shay on a recommendation from somebody in a Facebook group. And I knew that as I was growing and scaling the Align business, that I wanted to protect this as an asset. I had been in some, not legal troubles, but like I'd had some of these blips pop up around the along the way as I've been growing my business. And I knew that I needed to get things legally protected. I wanted to protect my intellectual property. And so I started working with Shay last year, and we have since started doing all of the things legal. And I basically just let Shay tell me what to do, and she does it, and we make it happen behind the scenes. And I wanted to bring her on just to like openly talk about some of the things that have been going on in my business that might be something that are going to be happening in your business as you grow and you scale, and what to look out for, but also how to handle certain things as they come up. Because as you grow, things will come up and you need to know who to turn to, what things to be thinking through, and when something is, you know, when you're coming up with your ideas and your businesses and when to really start protecting that or how to protect it from the beginning. So we are here to share about it. And I'm so excited to have Shay to talk about it. So I think I'm going to start off by sharing the first thing that happened to me in my business when I knew I was like, crap, I need legal help. because I have personally been a behind the scenes type, or I've been I ask for forgiveness instead of permission. And I kind of just do the things. And then like, I'm like, oh, that thing popped up, I'll deal with it. Like, I'd rather take action first than like try to get all my ducks in a row before I start, which is not the best thing legally. but thank you for being on this journey with me. So before I met Shay, I think you all know a long time ago, this podcast was called something else. I'm not going to say it, because it is trademarked. And this was probably 2+ years ago. And it was 1 week before I was giving birth to Carter. And I get this cease and desist letter in my inbox saying, please stop using this name, change it on your, you know, 100+ blog posts that you have, go through everything you've ever owned. And you know, change the name of this podcast. And so here I am. I am 39 weeks pregnant. I have this list of things I need to do in my business before I give birth, and I get this cease and desist. And I was like, this is the worst timing, but whatever, I'm dealing with it. And I went through, and it took me, I think, like 16 hours. I just like stayed up all day. Obviously I stay up during the day. All day I was like deleting and like getting stuff set so that I wasn't infringing upon this trademark. And that was my first bout into legal things. And Shay, sorry, I've been talking so much. I would love for you to share just about that. And like, you know, kind of some of those first things that people maybe should be looking out for. What are some of the things that like you would suggest somebody do as they're, you know, really starting to scale their business?
Yeah, let's backtrack a little bit. Of course, as a lawyer, I have to give this disclaimer that this is not personalized legal advice. And although I am Kelsey's lawyer, I am not your lawyer, your individual lawyer. And so this should not replace the need for you to get in touch with a professional like myself who specializes in business or in federal trademarks, copyrights, in your jurisdiction to suit your specific business needs. So the things that I will be saying are very, very general that can apply to a wide amount of people, but might not specifically apply to you. And so with that being said, I think that you are not in the minority of entrepreneurs who do and then ask for forgiveness, because I think that's a part of the entrepreneurial spirit, right? Of like, man, I have this really great thing and I do it. That is the difference between the entrepreneurs and the dreamers, is that entrepreneurs actually, they dream about it and then they go do it. And then really awesome things happen. And what I've consistently seen is almost like a level of surprise amongst entrepreneurs of, wow, people are really buying this. Wow, this is really taking off. Okay, this is a thing. Let me get myself together, right? And so it really is that backwards motion. And I would really implore anyone who's listening, especially if you are in that dream stage or you just press go, to do a simple Google search. Do a simple Google search, because as many great ideas as we have, and we may feel like they're new, there are billions of people in the world, and there's a high chance that someone else may have thought of it as well. Especially if you have that thought of like, why hasn't anybody thought of this? Why hasn't anybody named their course this? You should probably do a Google search first and do a Google search and see if somebody actually has. That will save you a lot of heartache and headache of, you have put your time and your energy into building a brand, building out a podcast, building out a course, a sales page, you know, and all the expense of hiring copywriters and designers and things like that, only to find that someone else has this, right? And it could have been found via a simple Google search. So I'd say that's the number one thing. If you've already pressed go and you're scaling and you've already made money and you're really, really committed to, like, I ask people, I say, are you married to this? Like, are you married to this concept? Because as a lawyer, I feel like everything's always up for negotiation. So if you find that someone is operating with a name that you've absolutely fallen in love with, it might be worth it to just reach out to this person and say, hey, because I've seen it so many times where people want a particular handle or a name, and there's just like a Facebook page that hasn't been active since like 2011, you know, just sitting there. And it may be worth it to say, hey, I see that you have this page. I'm really interested in launching a concept. Would you be willing to sell it to me? You know, or would you be willing to give it to me? I have a client who loves to buy domains, and just randomly. And she has all these domains, and consistently she gets requests of like, hey, I see you have this domain. And she just transfers it over to people. Like, she doesn't charge them anything. Like, if she literally hasn't launched the idea, she's like, you know what? If I was gonna launch something, I would have launched it. I'll let it go. You know, here you go. I'll transfer it to you, you know?
And that's so nice of her. Like, she should be charging premium.
Right. And so I'd say those are the two biggest, like, just small low-hanging fruit tips that I would give people. Number one, do a Google search before you start your business or before you get too far in. If you're already too far in and you see someone has it, there's no harm in reaching out before you get a cease and desist and ask if that person would be willing to transfer or sell the name over to you.
It's so interesting because with my particular instance, I did do the Google search. I did look on all the podcasts. I was like, is anybody using this? And what had happened in my case is that no, they weren't, but they had it trademarked and they had it trademarked for years and then wanted to use it. And so it was this kind of, I did do my kind of my own non-lawyered due diligence. And still it was something that I ran into and had to deal with, and whatever, it's fine. It's in the past. It was like a nuisance. And I'm glad that I learned it without, you know, bigger issues popping up. Right. And also I think I personally am like never super attached. I sometimes am, but, with that being said, I was just like, okay, I'll just change my, you know, podcast name. It's not a big, so that is when the Elaine business was born, which is exciting, which Shay is helping me with. So, okay. Thank you, Shay, for diving into that. Backing up a little bit, I know that the first time that we connected, like we were talking a lot about you as a lawyer and how you also love that you are like, you started your own business, like live your aligned life and all of that kind of stuff. I would love for you to share like your unique take on like building your firm and like just more about you as a person and your firm and the heart behind it.
Wow. This is actually the first time someone's even asked me this. Yeah. You know, people always ask kind of the generic of like, how did you get into law or, you know, something like that. But that's really interesting. I have found in my journey that I'm much like you. I'm a go-getter. I'm a problem solver, but I also love the minutia. I don't mind making charts and databases and reading long books. And like, it's typically the things that people hate to do. or I love sitting in creative meetings and hearing people give their ideas of these really fantastical things. And in my mind, I'm instantly breaking down a list of everything that needs to happen for it to execute. And the creative person is like, oh my God, how did you do that? And it's like, let's go, let's win, right? And so there were all these moments in my life where those things like really lined up. And for better or worse, sometimes it benefited me in corporate settings and sometimes it did not. And I really felt confined and I did not feel really satisfied working in a corporate environment. And I've worked jobs, anything from I loved working in hospitality. I was a waitress at one point. I was a maitre d' at like a big restaurant in New York in the theater district. It was a great job. I've worked, you know, at a private equity firm. I've worked in personal injury. Like I've done all these things, right? And worked all these jobs. And I just knew that it was time for me to go in the end. And what the catalyst was that my mom had a heart attack. I was working a corporate job, you know, typical lawyer where you're making this amazing amount of money, but it's like golden handcuffs and you're in the office sunrise to sunset. And I hadn't seen my mom in a really long time. And I decided to surprise her for Mother's Day weekend and to come to Atlanta where she was. And I was in DC at the time. And so at the time I was connected with a run group and they always do a Mother's Day run where they invite the mothers to come out. And the mothers of course don't actually run and they like walk in a little mom group and it's really cute. And so I brought my mother and we meet on this big bridge that's in downtown Atlanta. And my mom walked with the moms. We had a great time. And when we got to the bridge, she's like, oh, I'm out of breath. And I thought, like, my mom's really goofy. And she's like, she's just really goofy and kind of funny. And so I thought she was being dramatic where she's like, oh, I'm so out of breath. I can't breathe. And I'm like, my mom does like aerobics and she walks with her sister. So she's pretty in shape. So I definitely thought she was joking. And like moments later, she passed out. And lo and behold, she was having a heart attack, like literally drug her body into the car. My girlfriend and I, you know, took her to the hospital. And it was like one of the most traumatizing, you know, things that happened to me. And it broke my heart to have to leave her. I stayed during the week, but of course my job made me feel guilty about it. And so then of course I flew back and, you know, if you are listening to this and you've ever had to have any kind of substantive care or long-term care, you know that you need an advocate. Like your quality of health care is only as good as the your ability to advocate for yourself or somebody else's ability to advocate for you. And my mother just wasn't in a position to advocate for herself. And Kelsey, I would literally be in the conference room at my job, like sneaking into conference rooms to have my mom put me on speakerphone while she went for like her follow-up appointments. And I was literally flying from DC to Atlanta every weekend to like see about her. And I was, and nobody at my job cared. And I was like, you know what? I only have one mom. I only have one life. I could give two cares. This job could give two cares about if something happened to me or my mother. This is it. And in that moment, I made a 90-day plan and I knew all the certifications I wanted to get, all the lunch meetings I wanted to take while I still had the fancy job and fancy title. And I knew people would respond to me because I worked at this big place. I made my financial plan. I worked with a brand designer to relaunch my, you know, my own legal brand. I literally did everything in those 90 days. And here's the funny thing, Kelsey, maybe 80 days into the 90 days, I got pulled into the office and they told me that they were eliminating my position due to budget cuts and they were severancing me out. And I was like, look at God, look at the universe. I was leaving anyway. And now I'm with an even larger lump sum of money. And it was just like all the things when you talk about a line, all the stars aligned where I knew I didn't want to be there. I was aligning everything anyway. Then they let me go and give me a severance. And a really good friend of mine from college was closing a really big deal and asked me to lawyer it. And I got an even bigger windfall of money to set up and launch my business. And so I have been doing this and it has been absolutely awesome. So although I've been practicing law now for 11 years, it's been 5 years of me being a full-time entrepreneur, doing my own thing. And it's one of the best decisions that I've ever made. And I always tell my clients, like, family comes first. I tell my staff that, I tell my clients that, like, your family, your health, the things that make you happy, your self-care are our priority. Everything else can wait.
I love that. And I think I knew some of those things, but thank you so much for sharing it in that way. And like, it just gives me goosebumps because no, I mean, obviously different story, but like kind of similar ahas happened in my own journey too, where it's just like, this is not it. And I need to like actually be on my own to support the life that I truly want. And what is really cool there is that you had the plan and the dream of what you wanted to have happen. Of course, details are not figured out. And as soon as you started taking those aligned actions, even though it's like, of course it's scary, like this is change, it's big, like you're giving up something that has been part of your identity for so long, but you took the aligned actions and God, universe, source, I'm in all the things, like stepped up to support you through that, like even beyond what you could imagine yourself. And I see this happen all of the time. Like when we set that bigger plan that we just want to generally head in and we take those scary steps, but we know that it's aligned in the direction we want to go. It's like, this or better, this or better, this or better. And it like, it just always happens time and time again. Like you are supported in the way that you're meant to, taking those steps when you truly work through that and take them in alignment. So thank you for sharing that. I know that was like kind of off the topic, but I was like, I really want to bring this up because I think your heart and this story and everything you stepped into, even being like a lawyer, which is so like, you know, the prestigious and technical and like all the details and all the things, like you still bring that heart and soul into what you're doing, which is, I find rare and where my heart is and where I love seeing businesses go towards. So I'm glad I have found you because that spirit is, I just love it.
I think that's another element of doing your own thing, taking the leap and being an entrepreneur. And it's something that I pride myself on, where I only work with people that I align with. I only work with people that I vibe with, you know, or just feel a connection with. I will not work with everyone. And if you are an entrepreneur listening to this and you feel like, oh, I just need money to come in the door, I need to generate these sales. No, the very person that you are talking to and you feel hesitant about is going to be a headache. They're going to give you anxiety. They're going to make you regret the fact that you went against your gut. And that's one of the best parts about being an entrepreneur, is that you can make the conscious decision to only engage with people who align with your core values.
This is interesting because I actually have a legal question about this. Is there certain things where, like, can you legally, like, say, I don't want to work with you because you don't align with me?
Yeah, that's
okay.
There's no law against sharing how you feel, right? For better or worse, people spew their feelings all over the internet and all over the news, like the talking heads and blogs, right? That's just people sharing their feelings. And the same thing is true in business. Business is about offer and acceptance, and that goes both ways. That I am offering you a service, you can accept it, but I can rescind my offer. I can decide that I don't want to offer my service to you. And I think there's always a tasteful way and a tactful way of navigating away from clients that you don't want to work with. And there are key phrases that I definitely fall back on of, I don't think that this is a good fit at this time. And I think that we've talked about this previously. I can't remember where we talked about. I feel like we like go down rabbit holes all the time. But another great tool that I employ is really making connections with my colleagues, people who may do similar work to me, people who may be up and coming, or people who just completely serve different groups of people than me. And I love those opportunities to say, hey, I'm not a fit for you, but I actually know someone who is absolutely perfect. And typically I do. And I say, hey, let me introduce you to this person. So they don't feel blown off. They feel like you actually listened to them and didn't just want to take their money, you know, and the other person is grateful that you gave them a referral. So there's always a way to navigate it in love, in taste, in tact.
Yeah, I love that. This is why we have an application to work with us on the agency and in our coaching programs. And it's because I actually want to make sure that, like, one, we can support you, two, that it's actually in alignment with you and with us. And we want to like look into all of those things and make sure that it's a good fit. And I also, it's like, there's never any harm in applying because no matter what, we'll point you in a direction. Like if it's not us and you want to get to XYZ goal, it will point you to who can help you or a resource that can based on where you're at. And yeah, that just feels like integrity to me. And it makes the whole experience for everybody better. So thank you. Rabbit hole again. Okay. So I want to speak now to the entrepreneur who has made, you know, six figures. What they're doing is working. They have had contracts and they're obviously like, they know having boundaries and contracts and things in place are necessary to protect them, but they haven't gotten to this place where, you know, they're like looking into the future. They're like, what is intellectual property? What is a trademark? How do I protect myself? All of these things, like what kind of a place, like it's kind of this quote unquote next level, but it's almost like when you actually need to start working with a lawyer instead of just downloading templates or having these like mm-hmm. one-off sessions. And I feel like this is a place I personally hit in the past year. And I started working with you for one-off things. And then we went in and did a whole thing. And I was also stepping into employees and like these next things that I was like, okay, I gotta get this figured out. I'm bringing Shay in to support me with everything. Like, what is this phase? When should people be ready? When should they reach out to you?
Right. This is such a great question. And I've recently come up with this analogy. And I think I used it first with your mastermind about like the doctor and the house calls and the babies and, you know, things like this. And I was actually listening to the Daily Shine the other day. It's like a morning meditation that's on Spotify. And they were talking about how it's okay to evolve and how you should allow yourself to evolve and envision yourself as a tree and the things that you need, but you weren't always a tree, but right now you are. And so at the point where you are doing 6-figure launches, you're having consistent 5-figure months. Those are the times when you are really this tree, right? And you have root systems and you have branches and you may have blooms and fruit, and you may need to be pruned. You may need more complex soil. You may need a certain amount of rain and sun. And those are completely different needs than what you had when you were just a seedling, when you were just a small sprout. And so I think if you are a beginning entrepreneur, you're just trying to see if this works. You're trying to see, really market test and see if you have a profitable idea, offer, or service. I think that templates are fine. I never want to detract people because budgets are very real, and where I always want people to be conscientious and intentional about where they invest their money. And so even though I'm saying that templates are great when you're first getting started, I would implore the audience to get templates from a website that is run by a specific attorney, so that you know who has made the template and you know enough about them to know that they are informed about your specific industry. I only know about wireframes and Kajabi and Dubsado and, you know, all of these different things because I work with creatives. I know all the different parts of making a song because I work with songwriters and record labels, right? And so you don't want to just get a template off of like Rocket Lawyer or LegalZoom because you don't know if it has exactly what you need for your specific industry or business. And if you have a question about how to implement this template, about what's actually in it, because it's legal language and you're not a lawyer, so you don't even know if it actually covers what you need it to, you're only guessing. And if you get your template from a website that's run by an actual lawyer, you can always backtrack and say, hey, I purchased this template from you. I have a question about it. You've spent your money with them. They're more than willing to answer the question. And so there's that bucket, but now you are this tree. And that's when I say that I think it's time to reach out to somebody like me, because just like I said, you need more complex care for your business. You should treat your business the same. You should treat your business the same way that you would treat a child. All of our businesses are our babies. And you don't wait until your child gets sick to take them to the pediatrician. You go for checkups. You get and do the things that will prepare and prevent your child from being sick, you know, and make them the healthiest. And you want to do that with your business as it continues to grow as well, because it will always be cheaper to work with an attorney on the front end to help prepare you than it will be for that attorney to save you once you get hit with the cease and desist, or once you get hit with the lawsuit, or if you have to completely restructure from scratch because now you've already invested in all this other sort of stuff, right? And so those are the key times. I would say if you're hitting consistent 4-5-figure months, if you've gotten to the point where you had a 9-to-5 and you're saying, I think I'm going to leave in order mm-hmm. to do this full time, that's actually probably the time that you should at least talk to someone and say, hey, do I need an LLC? There are some mm-hmm. entrepreneurs I know that have already hit 6 figures and were still operating as themselves with no actual LLC in place, you know? So the bare basics, because it'll be way easier for you to book a call with me. A consult with me is $250, right? That gives you 30 minutes. That's way better for you to spend that $250, that 30 minutes for me to say, hey, everything is great. You don't need to do anything else. You're completely set. As opposed to waiting and hoping that everything is okay. And then down the road, you get sued and your personal accounts are attached to it, or the brand that you've built is owned by someone else. So I'd say at the point that this is covering your bills, at the point that you need help, where you need more than just a VA, where you're saying, hey, I need to bring on a social media manager, another designer, another, you know, business manager, a project manager. At the point that you're saying, hey, I can no longer do this myself, you really do need to engage a legal professional who's going to help you understand not only how to engage with those people, but also how to engage them in a way that protects what you've been building. Because inherently, when you engage other people to help you with your business, you're turning over parts of your brand, right? Like you're turning over passwords to help them do, you know, various different things. And you want to ensure that all of that stuff is protected, that your brand is protected. If things don't quite work out, that there are protections in place. So I always tell people, if it's enough money to be upset about, that you would cry about, that you would really, you know, it would really turn the tables for you, then it should be in writing. If it's enough money to be upset about, you absolutely need a contract. And that comes into play when you are working with third-party contractors, where you're saying, hey, I just worked with this copywriter to do this thing. I just worked with this graphic designer for this one thing. I worked with a photographer. Unless you have an agreement in place, that person owns the creative work that they made. And so you absolutely have to have crystal clear arrangements in place that outline what people are going to get paid, what you're receiving from them, when you're receiving it, and how you can get out of the relationship if it doesn't work. And at those 4, 5, 6-figure levels of business, those are the key times that you really want to get custom documents that are specific to your business, because now you've grown your business in a way that has made you unique in the market. You would not be in a position to scale if you had not already positioned yourself as unique in the market. And so now, because you've positioned yourself as being unique in the market, you need contracts that are custom to what you're doing, because you're not doing what everyone else is doing anymore. You've grown and evolved from that.
I love that. And yeah, I definitely started with the templates, and I actually hired a lawyer for a couple hours to customize them to me for the actual contracts, which was like really nice for a couple years. And I knew I needed some of that, because I was getting into a lot of instances where like projects would go weird, or like clients would have certain expectations, and like they weren't my expectations, but nothing was written down. And so there were just these like weird feelings and things happening. And I was like, ooh, these don't have to happen. Like, we can agree to this all up front. And that's when I really started getting the contracts in place. And I think that also, just if you're preparing for this kind of investment and like going through your legal things, I think making a list and keeping it, I have Evernote documents. I keep a list of all the weird things that pop up that I might want to work into a future contract or explain up front. This is for like any process in your business, but having the like, I need this specific thing like outlined in a contract so that everyone knows, everyone understands, and they're on the same page taking this next step. So that is something that I guess I would non-legally, but my fake legal advice would suggest, just like keep a document of weird things so you can make sure that when you are working with a lawyer, that like all of those things are being worked into your contracts and all of the processes. I would love to talk about intellectual property. I know this can be like days and days and days of talking, but at what point should people get serious about protecting their intellectual property? Can you not even explain what a trademark is, but just like, when should people get serious about that? And I don't know, all the things.
Yeah, I do actually think that it is important to understand what a trademark is before telling people to get serious about it, because I think people are commonly lost between the concept of a copyright and a trademark and your business name. That is consistently one of the biggest questions that people ask in when they book consultations with me, and they say, should I trademark my business name? How do I protect my business name? Right? And that's completely different than a trademark. And so sometimes your business name is in fact your trademark, but it is not always the case. And so I think a great example, right, is Pine Gate Road. Pine Gate Road LLC is your actual business. Your brand is Aligned Business. And so those things, Alphabet is the company, Google is the brand, right? And so understanding the difference between a legal business entity, which is your LLC, your corporation, whatever it is, and your brand, which may be the product or the service that you offer to someone, how you identify that product or service. So that is what trademarks are. Trademarks are words, phrases, slogans, logos that your business uses to specifically identify your service or product to differentiate it from others in the market. An example that I'll give to really drive it home is that of coffee, of being a coffee manufacturer. So your business is being a coffee manufacturer. Your trademark is how you identify your coffee so that people know your coffee is different from other coffee and they can choose your business as opposed to someone else. And so the brand is Folgers, you know, the brand is Counterculture, the brand is Starbucks. That is the difference between your company and your trademark, which is your brand. And so sometimes those two can be the same thing, but they often aren't, especially if you are offering a mastermind, a coaching service, a specific package. 9 times out of 10, whatever that fancy, catchy name is that you've decided to name your course, then that is going to be what you should probably get serious about trademarking. And awesome. So when you have, especially if you have maybe tested this and you see that there's interest, or if it's that thing going back to the beginning of the conversation about why hasn't anybody named their course this? This is so catchy. This is so cute. If you tell your friends the name of something and they're all like, oh my God, I love it, you should probably see if it's available and think about trademarking it, because somebody will probably steal it. And so that's how I tell people to prioritize trademarking, because it's a, as Kelsey and I know, it's a very long process. It's a very detailed, arduous, and expensive process. And you really want to dedicate that time and those legal resources towards something that you think has a high risk of being stolen. No one is going to steal Kelsey Kersley. You know, a lot of people say, hey, I want to trademark my name. This is your legal name. No one can run around and say that they are Kelsey Kerslake. Like, do not spend your time and money on that right now. Like, until you become Beyonce or Jay-Z or, you know, something like that, where your name is actually a brand, Oprah, you know, that's the point where you might want to focus on a trademark. But I think for most creatives who are listening to this, what they really want to pay attention to and get serious about from absolute day one is copyright and registering the copyright to their creative works. And so the difference between a copyright and a trademark is that a trademark just protects how you identify your course or your offering or your podcast, but it does not protect the actual content itself. So it doesn't protect that podcast recording. It does not protect your workbook. It does not protect your mastermind recordings. It doesn't protect your freebies and checklists. That actual content is protected by copyright registration. And in a copy and paste world, it, you have no way of enforcing your rights against someone who literally just steals your content, who comes and downloads your freebie or comes and downloads your workbook and resells it if you do not have your copyright registered. And that is what I would definitely say that creative should focus in on from day one. That's always an investment I would tell someone to make up front, is registering their copyright. And I think when your business really blooms, when it really takes off, when you're really serious about it, that's when you should really think about getting your trademarks registered.
Yeah, I love that distinction between the copyright and the trademarks, because that was something I didn't know anything about when we started working together. And you gave me some amazing examples at how, you know, that can go awry, like as you go awry, awry. Why can't I say that word? Awry.
I think it's both awry, but I think...
Like, what just came out of my mouth? Anyway, so before it goes awry, if you are creating courses, products, coaching, you have a signature way in which you explain things or do things. It's been interesting because I didn't really know about this beforehand. And I've been like creating different ways to like explain things and charts and graphs and like signature ways in which we like help people build their, you know, trademark aligned business model. And Shay was like, you have to trademark, or you have to copyright that. Like your students and all of these people are seeing that stuff and they're using that within their business. Like they can't take that and then also use it in their businesses. Like they can use the concepts to impact their business because they're clearly purchasing by being in the program a right to utilize it, but they can't utilize it for their clients. For example,
do it all the time. Sorry to cut you off. I see.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, a top thing that people come to me is they say, hey, I had someone take my course and now they're selling a course exactly like mine. And I say, well, what was your participant agreement? Did you have a copyright notice? Was there anything that explicitly told them they could not reshare, resell, you know, redistribute this? And it's like, no, oh, I didn't think about it. And it's like, you know, sometimes it's just people learn things they're so excited about and they're like, okay, I want to tell the world about it and I'm good at telling people about it, so I'm going to charge you for it. And it's like, no, you can't do this. You just paid me to learn this from me. And so I think that's like the biggest thing I consistently see is that people who take these courses then go and resell the same content that they just got.
Absolutely. And I think there's like, you can use that knowledge as you're growing. Like we all read, we research, we like experience in the world, but then you're taking all of those different things and like forming your own way in which to do something based on your learned experiences. You can't take somebody else's learned experiences and then call them your own. You technically can if they haven't copyrighted everything, which is like why working with you has been really cool, because you're actually helping me copyright and protect like all of this intellectual property that I've been coming up with over the years that I've been putting out there and whatever. But like now I can share it and feel good about having that legal protection that like other people can't use it and sell it as their own.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think as you increase the ticket price of individuals joining your courses or even your service offering packages, think to yourself that you're handing over something of this value every single time. Would you just like sit $2,000 on the curb? Would you just sit $15,000 on the curb and say, here, you know, I'm not going to lock this in a box. I'm not going to say, I'm just going to sit this little pile of cash right here. That's really what you're doing every single time you put your information out and you don't have it protected. Literally, the cost of one student offering can protect you for a lifetime, you know? And so people really need to think about that. And I don't think that it crosses their mind until the worst happens. And I feel like it's unfortunate because I know that most creatives I know have hearts of gold and they don't think that something like that would happen. And then when it happens, it absolutely crushes them. And they're like, I spent nights and days in my blood, sweat, and tears into building this program and building this person's website or whatever it is. And I can't believe this person stole it from me. And it's like, but what did you do to protect it?
Mm-hmm. It's so funny you bring that up because I feel like when we first started talking too, I was like, no one will do that. I'll be fine. And I'm always like, optimism, happiness, love. And Shay's like, here's all the terrible things that can happen to you.
Right.
It's like, and then, I mean, but you need that because I'm like, I clearly needed it. But yeah, you're like, it won't happen, but like, let's make sure you're protected if and when anything does. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
Right. And then it did like 3 weeks later, right? Like we ended up sending out a notice and it was like,
yeah,
and it was really cool, you know, and it ended really amicably, right? But it was like seeing the reality of like, we talked about it and like literally 3 weeks later, it's like this thing pops up that's exactly your idea. And just having this connection and you already being engaged with me as an attorney to be able to say, hey, Shay, this thing has popped up and it's exactly my concept. Can you handle it? And we absolutely handled it. It was, mm-hmm. It worked out great on both sides. And I think that that's the power of operating in your area of expertise and having people on your team that you can rely on in that area of expertise where you could continue to focus on your business and just hand this off and say, hey, Shay, can you do this for me? And it's like night and day to like, you know, when the first cease and desist came, you know, right before you were about to give birth. And so I just think that that's what's really important too, is like, even if you never, even, let's just say that you don't even engage the attorney for whatever it is that you're going to do, even just having that relationship so that if something happens, you can have someone that you can immediately reach out to and you can continue to focus on your business and they can work on protecting the business that you're still running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so thankful to have you have my back. okay, so we are just about at time and wrapping up here. Do you have any parting words of advice or like something that you just truly love and believe in that you want to be sharing and letting our audience know about? Words of wisdom.
Oh my gosh, my words of wisdom. And I just shared this with a client yesterday who's going through a tough experience with a tough client, former client, is that some things will try your business legally and emotionally and financially. And all, if you operate your business from a place of honesty and integrity and providing value and being upfront about those things, you will always land on the upside, regardless of what nasty client experience that you may have, what nightmare experience, no matter if that one random person wants a refund, even though you gave them a discount and you let them, you know, do whatever. When you absolutely operate from honesty and integrity and just a level of transparency, that will always prepare you to win and never compromise that. And that translates from everything, like everything that Kelsey talks about with the aligned business to everything for me as an attorney, because when I come and I help, I say, well, did you tell this person this? Did you actually do the work? Did you provide the value? When you operate from those places, I'm always, and any lawyer is always going to be in the best position to help you. And so those are the things that I would definitely tell anybody. Those are my parting words of wisdom. I think the only thing that I would add to that is that, again, I would reiterate, outside of that, build your relationships ahead of time. Don't wait until the house, you know, is on fire or your business has pneumonia to go get help and build the relationships that you need. And I think those key relationships are going to be an attorney, a bookkeeper or a CPA and like maybe some kind of business coach. So
yeah,
that's my spiel.
Thank you so much for sharing. And where can people find you and hire you if they are needing a lawyer and they are hitting six figures and want to be super protected and taken care of?
Yes, you can go to one of two places. You can go to solo-ceo.com. It is solo-ceo.com. And all the things that Kelsey and I talked about today, from doing an audit of your business to see if the templates and the things you started out with are correct, to registering your trademarks and copyrights and getting your policies and agreements in place as you expand your staff and hire contractors and employees and coaches. I have a three-step process that I go through with my clients. It is the solo to CEO method that is trademarked. And
yeah.
I can't tell you, I've helped countless entrepreneurs move from six figures to seven to eight going through this three-step process. So if you are at that point where you're saying, man, I'm really risking it all, I've gotten too far to not have my ducks in a row, where you're guessing and you're kind of pulling things piecemeal, please feel free to visit the site, book a discovery call. Let's have a chat, solo-ceo.com.
Amazing. And if they want to connect with you on social, where should they go?
I am Shay M. Lawson on every platform.
Yay. All right. Thank you so much, Shay. I just love hanging out with you every time we get together. And thank you so much for showing up here and sharing your gifts with our audience today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a few seconds right now to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It's so simple and helps us so much. This is incredibly helpful for getting the show into more ears so that we can make even more impact. I'm sending you so much love. I hope you have an amazing week. You've got this.